I want to talk to you about the mothering heart of God. The mothering heart of God. And I want to begin where Jesus is speaking about the Holy Spirit. And it's in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18. Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." Aren't you glad that God's going to abide with us forever? "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." That's a powerful passage of Scripture. And I want us to see in this that the Holy Spirit and Jesus, we're going to see verses about Jesus as well, that they present to us, they give us a great picture of the heart of God, the mothering heart of God. Now, since we were children, if we learned the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," we recognize that God presents himself and teaches us aspects about his nature through referring to him as a father, right? But we don't always pick up on the fact that God also, through Jesus and through the Holy Spirit, presents his nature to us and his character on the feminine side as well, the mothering heart of God. And so I want us to grasp that today. I believe there are those here today, you need God to come and just wrap his arms around you like a wonderful mother and take you close and just breathe fresh life into you. Just comfort you. Just love you. How many realize we all need a hug once in a while? Now, guys don't like to admit that. We don't. We're tough, you know. "I don't need a hug." Yes, you do. It's interesting to me. I have guys all the time. They'll run up and they'll just hug me. And I love it. Now, it's a manly hug. But guys need hugs too. All of us need that love from God. All of us need that caressing from the Lord, don't we? Amen? Now, it's difficult sometimes for us to talk about the character, the nature of God, and to understand God because our minds are finite. We can't fully understand and know God because the grandeur and the majesty, the God that we serve, is so wonderful, so great, so far beyond our complete understanding because our minds are limited and we're fallen. This earth is fallen. We have sinned. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God does want us to understand him as best we can. God does want us to know him. And so I want us to see in several instances, turn to Genesis. There's a verse in the very beginning of God's Word, Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, that's important for us to see today. It says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them." So in maleness and femaleness, in fatherhood and motherhood, God reveals his nature, his character, his attributes to us. That's why it's important for us to understand when we see a couple, a mother and a father in a home, it presents God to the next generation. There's a picture of God to our children. That's why the enemy will do everything he can to steal and to destroy marriages. He wants to tear them apart. He doesn't want the next generation to have a godly understanding of God our Father and God's mothering heart towards us. And in church, that's why God created man in his own image and woman in his own image. And God didn't make mistakes, and God isn't confused. I'm not going to get off on that, but you know what I'm talking about. Amen? In them, he shows us a mother's heart, a mother's nature, and it's his heart, it's his nature. Where do we think these attributes come from? Where do we think these characteristics come from? Did they just fall out of the sky? No, God created them. So what we see in our mothers as love and tenderness and kindness and the sacrificial love, and we see that in our fathers and the strength and the protection and love as well. Yeah, I need some water, honey. We see these things. Guess what? They're showing us a picture of God who we love. Amen? Amen. In John chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Now, this isn't belittling the law of God or Moses. It's not comparing them to Jesus and saying, Jesus is better. What it is doing, because Jesus grew up under the law. He grew up in Judaism. So they're not in competition, but it shows us the wholeness of what God wants us to understand. Jesus came to bring an understanding about the laws of God. He had been revealed through Moses, and they're intended to be understood by us. All the authority that's contained in the law is still the law. Amen? It's still the law. But we need to understand that God is both, you know, when we think about the law, what do we think about? We think about Mount Sinai. We think about the thunder, you know, the lightning of Mount Sinai, and God giving the Ten Commandments. And we have a tendency to look at the Ten Commandments and think God is just, he's just trying to make us do what he wants. And that's not it, church. God gave the Ten Commandments in a benevolent heart because he wants us to experience the very best life that we can possibly live. Amen? And when we follow the Ten Commandments, that leads us to the blessings of God flowing into our lives. God wants the very best for us. Like a father or mother today would teach their children, this is how, you know, to do it right. And it can be something simple, you know, changing a tire. How do you change a tire right? How do you do it where it's not going to fall? How do you do it where it's not going to hurt you? You know, we teach our children things to make life better. And that's what the Ten Commandments are. But in this verse where it compares, it talks about the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ, it's bringing two ideas together. It's showing us the benevolent love of God also, but it says, yes, God is righteous, God is just, and God expects us to live according to his word. In the next verse, in John chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So Jesus is declaring to us a better understanding of how the Father has a heart for us as well. So Jesus and the Holy Spirit both help us to understand the Father better. Now we come to the revelation of Scripture as God is Father pretty easy. But we need to understand God is not doesn't have either gender. We need to understand that. John says that God is spirit. So God didn't make men and women so that we would understand that God is male, but the attributes that God has created in man and in woman are known so that we would understand God better. He wants us to understand him. In Psalm 145, verse 17, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works." In Isaiah 32, 17, "The work of righteousness will be peace." So we see these two contrasts. God expects righteousness. He calls us to righteousness. But he's also there with peace and graciousness. So these two terms are unified together. There's a unifying factor in them that make us whole. We want to be righteous, and yet it's not firm, it's not pounding, it's not God saying, you're going to be righteous or else. There's that peace and that grace of God that comes along with it, that blend together, because God wants us to experience both. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, we're not going to turn there, but verse 1 through 36, it talks about the fatherhood of God. In Deuteronomy verse 31 of that first chapter, it says, and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, in all the way that you went until you came to this place. In Exodus chapter 4, verse 22, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. In Isaiah 63, verse 16, doubtless you are our father. You, O Lord, are our father, our redeemer from everlasting is your name. So it's very clear in Scripture. But I want us to think also of God as the mothering heart of God. I want us to see, again, let's look at Genesis chapter 1. But God as mother is something that's often overlooked. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, the picture that God is giving us here is of the Holy Spirit like a mother who broods over creation. Because the word there that we translate hover actually means brood. It is like a mother hen would gather her chicks under her and would protect her chicks and would cover them and care for them. That's the picture that God gives us here. And it's interesting. I want you to hear this, church. The Hebrew verb for hovering is in the feminine form. It's written in the feminine form. God directed it that way. He is showing us the feminine side. And wherever you look in the Old Testament about the Holy Spirit, it is that way. Whether it's a noun or a verb, if it's talking about the Holy Spirit, it is talking about the feminine form. So I want you to see that today, because that's a powerful picture. The Holy Spirit is showing us God the Father has a loving heart. How many love your mother's heart towards you? Amen? I am so thankful. My mother loved me. She blessed me. She took me to church every time the doors were open. She would keep me clothed. She took me everywhere to basketball and football and all the fun things that I was doing. She was a great mom. And when I see her heart, it tells me the heart of the Father is a mothering heart towards us. Amen? And we need that mothering heart today. We need the father figure and we need the mother figure in our lives today, knowing that that's what God's like. I was reminded the other day when I was going through this message, and the Holy Spirit, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is correct us. Right? And I was thinking about, mothers correct us, don't they? You know, normally we think about the fathers. Wait till your father gets home. He's going to get the belt. And in our house, Melinda and I both corrected. Melinda had a little paddle. It was a ping pong paddle. And it had about a quarter of an inch of rubber pad on it, so it didn't hurt, but it sure scared the kids when they were little. She'd just whop them with that and they'd pop. She's such a wonderful mother. One time Mitch was getting out of the car, they were going into the store, and she reached over and grabbed her paddle and she popped him, and he goes, what's that for? We're going in the store. That's just to remind you. He's never forgot that. I remember the last time my mom corrected me. I was 14 years old, and I was already over 6 foot tall. And here's my loving little mom, and she goes, "I'm going to spank you for that." And she's looking up at me, and I just kind of smile. And she starts coming towards me, so I just took off. And we were in my grandfather's house, and in my grandfather's house, you could run from the den into the dining room, into the kitchen, into the formal dining room, into the living room, and then into a hallway back into the den. So it was a circle. So I ran around the circle once or twice, and then she gave up, so she never got to spank me. But I'm thankful that our mothers do spank us and correct us. I'm thankful for that. So the Holy Spirit is connected with the feminine form, so it is showing us the heart of God. Now, God isn't genderized, again, but it shows us traits and shows us the nature in the heart of God. Now, in the New Testament scriptures, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, Jesus is lamenting over Jerusalem. And it says, "How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." So it's a picture there of Jesus also lamenting over Jerusalem, who was rejecting him as the Messiah. And he said, "All I wanted to do is to gather you like a mother hen gathers her chicks, to protect you, to love you, to care for you." So it's a beautiful picture, again, of a mother's heart. Isaiah 66, verse 13. The Lord says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you shall be comforted." There's God saying, like a mother, I'm comforting you. So when you need comfort, church, don't worry about coming to God as a father, because God is there as a mother to wrap his arms around us, to comfort us, to encourage us, to help us through whatever we're facing. Another passage, in our original passage, Jesus says, "I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." That's more, church, than theological information today that I'm teaching this. I'm teaching this today because God wants you to know how much he loves you, how much he cares about you, that he wants to wrap his loving arms around you. He's there to comfort you in the difficult times. He's there to encourage you. He has a mothering heart towards you. I want you to receive that today. I want you to just welcome that today. In John chapter 14, verse 8, Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Now, why would Philip ask that? Unless he thought that God the Father couldn't be as sensitive and as caring as he understood Jesus to be. So Philip has heard Jesus' comfort. He's experienced it. And so he wanted to know, is the Father like that? And Jesus declares, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Aren't you thankful for that, church? In John chapter 8, we have a powerful, powerful passage of Scripture. John chapter 8, verse 1 through 12. And we're going to look at that right quick. John chapter 8. I love this passage. And it's a little confusing sometimes. So I just want us to look at it together. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" Thus they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he had not heard. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus has raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one commanded you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. Excuse me. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." This passage of Scripture, ever since I was a young boy just learning the Word and going into pastoring, I've always loved this passage of Scripture. But it's interesting to me, and theologians have struggled with this passage, because it appears that Jesus doesn't care about sin. This woman was caught in the very act of adultery. And it's interesting to me, they didn't drag the man along with her, just the woman. They weren't right. But it's interesting to me as well that they were trying to trick Jesus. They were trying to trap Jesus. And they were trying to trick and trap him with the Word of God. Because the law said that she was guilty, that she deserved to be stoned to death for this sin. But Jesus stoops down and he writes in the ground. And we don't know exactly what he wrote. But many theologians think that he probably began to write out the Ten Commandments. Because the Word of God was convicting their hearts. They were seeing the Word of God, probably the Ten Commandments written out. And they may not have committed adultery, or they might have committed adultery. But they were looking at the Ten Commandments and they were being convicted. And all of them had broken the commandments. None of them were sinless, right? None of us here today can say, "I've never broken the Ten Commandments," because all of us have. We may not have broken all 10 of them, but we've broken them. And Scripture tells us if we've broken even one, we're guilty of it all. Sin is sin. And so what are we to think when we read this, that Jesus didn't say, "Well, go ahead and stone her. That's what God's law says to do." But he was pointing the fact to everyone there that they were all guilty of breaking the law of God. All of us deserve to be stoned, because all of us have broken God's law. But Jesus was also showing us the mothering heart of God. He was showing us that the heart of God wants to cleanse us rather than judge us for our sin. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah? Oh, come on, church. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. God would rather cleanse us from our sin. He wants to cleanse us rather than see us judged for it. And that's the message Jesus is giving in this wonderful passage of Scripture. And I love that. And I love to incorporate this in my messages if ever I can, because I love that truth. Church, I know that I'm not supposed to be one of the Pharisees that's condemning others and pointing the finger at others, because I am just as guilty. But I am to associate with this woman caught in the sin and experience the loving heart of Jesus. Amen. The mothering heart of God that wants to come and cleanse me and restore me. That's the mothering heart of God for all of us. And there's three words that I want us to think about in the mothering heart of God. And then I'm going to close. And we can pray for our mothers and pass out the flowers. There's three words I want to think about: comfort, correction, and confidence. Those three things. Comfort, correction, and confidence. First of all, comfort. It means helper in the text that we originally read in John. It means one who comes alongside to help. One who comes alongside to help. Aren't you thankful, church, that the Holy Spirit is there with us? He comes alongside to help us in whatever we face. And it comforts us. And that's what God wants us to see about the mothering heart of God. It's that my mom was always there to help me. She would help me with projects. When I'd say, Mom, it's Sunday night, Monday morning, I'm supposed to have a project done for science class. You ever been there? Procrastination? Instead of just scolding me and jumping on me and, you know, beating me down, she'd say, you know better than this. Get in there, let's get it done. And she wouldn't just put me in there and make me do it. She would come alongside me. She would help me. She would encourage me so that I could get it done and next morning get it to class. That's a mothering heart of God. She would help me, you know, in any way that she could. She was also fun. How many had a fun mom? Some of us had fun moms. I bet I've got a story that you probably have never experienced with your mom. On the way home from church, I had graduated high school. I had a gold Trans Am. And my mother was at the light with me. She had driven to church on her own. And she looks over at me. And I look over at her. And it was on. And I punched it, and she punches it, and we're going down the road. Next thing you know, a cop pulls up behind us and pulls both of us over. He comes up. I was in the front. He comes up, and I roll my window down. He looks at me. Son, what were y'all doing? And I had my head down. I'm sorry, officer. That's my mother. He goes, what? He goes back and talks to her. And he comes back and says, y'all get out of here and stop that. Now, how many had a mom like that? A fun mom. Even when you get in trouble, she's right there with you. But she comforted me. I remember as a little boy, whenever I'd be sick, she'd come into my bedroom. She'd sit down beside me. And, you know, the picture here where it talks about the Holy Spirit brooding, we could really relate to a mother coming in and, you know, a child with a fever and a mother, you know, getting a damp cloth and rubbing the brow and trying to get the fever down. And that's the heart of God for us. And I didn't tell the story about Mom and I racing. I don't want you to think that God's wanting to break the law with you. But I do want you to know God loves to have fun with you. He's not a stern dad that's just always a stick in the mud. He likes to have fun with you. And he likes to be there with you. When you're out fishing, when you're out camping, when you're four-wheeling, when you're snow machining, whatever you're doing for fun, God's there. Years ago, God showed me this in a really special way. I was in college. I was playing basketball. I was on the starting varsity team. And we were playing in town close to where my dad lived. And I said, "Dad, come on and come to my game." He said, "Okay, I'll come." And for whatever reason, he was very busy. He had a big business. He didn't make it. And I was kind of used to it. But years later, I was praying and helping someone, and I said, "You have hurts in the past, and God wants to heal those." And while I was praying for them and ministering to them, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, "You've never let me heal the hurt in your heart." And I kind of, where'd that come from? What? And then the Lord showed me that game. Because I had a fast break, and I reached up and I got the ball, and I came down the center, and I jumped up, and I slam dunked it. And my dad wasn't there. But the Lord showed me something. When he showed me that picture again of what happened in that game in my mind, I looked up, and I saw Jesus in the stands. And he wasn't just sitting there. He was standing up and he was jumping up and he was cheering me on. That's the heart of God. And it reminded me, because when I was younger and mom was at all my games, that's what my mom did. She didn't care if anybody thought she was too loud or too silly. She was jumping and she was raising her hands. And, "That's my boy. Go, you can do it." And I don't think she ever missed a game in elementary school all the way through high school graduation. I went off to college, so she didn't see all my college games. But what I want you to see is God loves to have fun with you. And that's a mothering heart of God. Amen? The other word, correction. Nobody likes correction, do we? Does anybody in here like correction? Dimitri does. We should like correction. A mothering heart doesn't come down on us and correct us to force us to do what they want. That's not the idea. And that the mothering heart of God corrects us, church, so that we will always live for Him and know the blessings of God. God wants us to experience the very best. That's why He gave us the commandments. And that's why when the lady committed adultery, Jesus wants to restore. He wants to cleanse. Notice he said, "Go and sin no more." So it's not that he wants us to sin. It's not that he doesn't care about sin. God cares about sin. That's why he went to the cross and paid the price and took every single sin upon himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might experience the love and the freedom, the salvation of God. So the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. He also convicts us of righteousness and judgment. And then finally, confidence. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So a mother wants to build confidence in her children, doesn't she? I think all of us, we want our children to be confident that they have a purpose and a plan. It's so sad. So many kids today think that, you know, there's no God, nobody cares about me, I don't know why I'm here, there's no purpose for life. Then they end up getting involved in drugs or alcohol or immorality or other things. They're hurting and they don't understand that they're precious, that they're a gift from God, that God has a plan for their life, a purpose for their life. Every single one of us, God has a plan for our lives. And as a mothering heart of God, He wants us to come alongside us, to nurture us, to care for us, to set us on the right track so that His awesome plan, His awesome purpose for our life is totally fulfilled. But we can be spoiled little brats and say no. He's given us a free will. But church, if you're not walking on God's path today, I want you to welcome God to come with His mothering heart and nurture you and care for you, come alongside of you and help you to walk down the path that He has for you. Amen. I want you to stand with me. I want to ask Kenan if he'll come back. All of these are characteristics of the mothering heart of God. And it's my prayer today. Today we live in a world where many times we don't have a godly father or a godly mother. And none of our parents are perfect. My mother raced me and got pulled over by the cops. But church, today's always a challenge. It's a challenge for every mother to say, God, I want Your attributes, Your nature, what You created in me as a woman to come forth and for the world to see the mothering heart of God through my life. And even though it's not Father's Day, men, I challenge you. To have the heart of a father. Our nation needs to be turned around. And it needs mothers and fathers that are surrendered to God. That are open and willing to allow God to work through them. Not that you're perfect, but you're striving to let God's attributes be seen in your life. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank You for everyone that's here today. And Lord, I thank You for the illustrations in Your Word. That You are our Heavenly Father, but at the same time, You have the heart, the mothering heart that we need. That You come alongside us, that You cover us, Lord. That You brood over us. Lord, that You have fun with us, that You celebrate us. In Zephaniah 3:17, Lord, it says that You rejoice over us. And Lord, as we celebrate our mothers today, we thank You for them. I pray for them. Lord, I pray that every mother here would allow You, Lord, just to fill their hearts afresh. Lord, encourage them. Lord, bless them. We thank You for every mother here today. We thank You for their, whether they're a biological mother or a spiritual mother or both. Lord, we bless them today and we thank You for them. And we pray, Lord, that they would know how much that we love them, how much that we appreciate them. And Lord, according to Your Word, we honor our mothers today. We bless them in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. And before we give out the flowers, I want to give you just a moment. I feel like there are those here today that you really need to experience the mothering heart of God. Maybe this is a fresh new revelation to you. You've never experienced the heart of God like we're talking about from Scripture today. But you want that Holy Spirit presence and that heart of a mother to come alongside of you. Maybe you're struggling and going through something that's really difficult right now. And you just need the Holy Spirit to come and to wrap His arms around you and to stand with you, to comfort you. And if that's you today, I'm going to ask our prayer team, if they would, to come around the walls in the back of the building, and someone can come up here in the front. And I want to give you an opportunity. We want to pray with you. If you have any need today, maybe you've never accepted Jesus. Maybe you don't know what salvation is, and you've never made a commitment to Him, and you've never opened up your heart to Him. What better day than Mother's Day to open up to the mothering heart of God and to say, yes, Jesus, I want you, I love you. So if you have a need, we're going to ask Kenan to lead us in a song. We want to pray for you. We're not going to take long, but we want to pray for you this morning if you have a need.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.